Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for ChartsAndMarkets.com. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. It's our Friday moment together, and it's been a terrible week in the financial markets.
Yeah, the stock market's taking a pounding as we're speaking on Friday. One thing to note is like the S&P down 27%, I think, or the NASDAQ, one or the other, both of them are actually down quite a bit. But the Toronto Stock Exchange only down 4% since its peak. So for some reason, Canada's doing better. I just want to ask, Bob, is that because of oil? Because the oil market is doing
probably.
So well?
The resource sector is heavier weighted in the TSE index, yeah, because you've had outstanding rallies for the base metal miners. Oh, fabulous stuff.
Well, we love to answer listener questions, and we have a question from our listener, Clara. Clara says, hey, Bob, with your prediction of the end of a financial bubble and a decline in stock prices, I was wondering, where do bond prices go then? Not so much the short end, but say the 10-year bonds. Will this still be a case of stocks down, bonds up? And if so...
I think we should do these one at a time.
Okay, it's about a three-parter.
Yeah. Yeah, there's problems in post-bubble deflation with the bonds. Lower-grade bonds, such as junk, become no bid because there's... They usually, mainly the corporations have taken on more debt than they can service. So, and then if the economy slows, it's even more difficult to service. And then the other problem is that many investment grade bonds then get downgraded to junk and on their way to no bid as well. So it's very difficult. For the last year we've been advising that people should own no risk investment income things of any kind, and that means from bonds to preferred shares. And but there can be some rallies in U.S. Treasuries or Government of Canada bonds, but we would say that those are mainly for nimble traders. We got one trade this year out of the bond future. Managed to get 5 points out of it, but so there's a problem in the interest rate world ahead of us. And then we can go to the next question.
If bonds are going down, what's going on right now with both stocks and bonds going down? And where do commodity prices and commodity stocks go? Do they decline too?
Yeah. That's fascinating out there, Clara. There are, in a great financial bubble, the final business thrust includes rising commodity prices, which we have had. But then the action has been made a whole lot more dramatic because a couple of years ago, they shut down the world's economy as best they could with the COVID hysteria. And then more recently, the invasion of Ukraine is threatening not just grains, but also fertilizer markets and stuff like that. Again, policymakers at work. But the action in the main commodities right now, crude oil is firm. Gasoline prices are to the moon, and this could reach its best maybe over the next month or so, and then fail because one of the features of a post-bubble contraction has been that the senior currency heads up. And I would note that in the last couple of days, the U.S. dollar index, the DX, has firmed up as the big stock market is getting hit very hard. So that's working. So then our view has been that commodities could be okay until about mid-year, and then sometime after August head south, and it could become dramatic.
Now, you mentioned gasoline. President Biden has hinted that he's considering gasoline rationing, especially in the U.S. Northeast. Would that help gasoline prices, or is this trying to hold back the tide with a teacup?
It's fantasy land stuff. No, rationing, they're idiots, economic idiots, so they will try it probably, but there's a madness in American, well, in each, most political capitals. Most political parties have gone radical speculative, and this, of course, they're funding this bubble in radical politics with a huge surge in credit, which is currency depreciation. So the currency depreciation has driven a fabulous bubble that has now become unstable. So my case is that as these over-speculated items, from junk bonds to commodities to stocks, roll over and die, they're doing a good job at it this week, then the Fed will not be able to depreciate the currency. The U.S. dollar will be going up. So the shortages now are largely due to policymakers intruding where they should not have. But the astonishing thing is that in post-bubble contractions, people get amazed that in hard times that there's so much supply of stuff around. And that's what happens. The consumer just shuts down. So I figure all these shortages and inconveniences and whatnot will, over the next year or so, ease. And this would be moved along if we discover that that after August there truly is a massive credit contraction being discovered. So who knows? I want to say that the damage this week to the stock markets has been immense, and I think unfixable.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your attention this week. Commercial property sales slow as interest rates go up, sinking commercial deals.
Yep. The buyer is balking at looking at the numbers with higher interest rates factored in. And that is, it could be a cyclical event. And with then eventually, not just commercial property, but residential property and all sorts of things stalling out and heading down.
Another headline, University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index, which we've been using, God, I don't know, for decades now. Anyway, the consumer index in the U.S. collapses to a record low in June, and 70% of the U.S. economy is driven by the consumer. What does that mean for the U.S. economy? And of course,
I was impressed by the chart, Jim. Yeah. Straight down, but... and that was one impression, and one big item, straight down, and the other to new lows. And I think the chart ran for about 12 years. So this is distinctive. The consumer is shutting down, and the economy has no choice but to shut down as well.
Headline, China's consumers keep their wallets in lockdown even as COVID curbs ease, and they're allowed to roam about their cities again.
Yeah, I like the headline. Nice play on words where the wallets are locked down despite the lockdowns, the physical lockdowns being eased. So, yeah. But, you know, China started its post-bubble contraction a year ago now when things started to go all to hell. But that had been preceded by, in March a year ago, when Turkey and Argentina discovered that their central banks had run out of liquidity and their currencies were getting trashed and short rates going up and just the usual disaster. And then I saw another one here recently, I guess it was this week, about Turkey, where their producer price index year over year is up 132%. I mean, that is very, very fast. So, and very dislocating. So, it's not a safe place for investors.
I just saw today as well, the official U.S. inflation rate nearly 9%.
Yeah.
Which you know means it's actually a lot higher than that. If the government admits it's 8.7.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, various sectors higher than that. But, you know, I was in the investment business in the 1970s through the 80s, and the rate of inflation, U.S. got up to, in 1980, got up to 14%. And people were very distressed about that because the way it works is that costs of things go up faster than wages do. And then even in farming, the cost of supplies go up faster than the price of grain. So the only people that benefit from deliberate currency depreciation, of course, is the government, which is why it's being done, and then successful speculators. But if you want to really get a number on inflation, in the great commodity boom of 1920, U.S. consumer price inflation got up to 24%. So how could you handle that one? These people are excited now about 9%. What would they be doing with 24% inflation? But then on that one, Jim, it crashed. Global commodity prices crashed such that in 1921, the U.S. rate of inflation was minus 16%. And that's why the Fed spent the 1920s with much easier credit policies than otherwise, is because they were fearful that there wasn't enough inflation, and they didn't understand that the extra credit was fueling financial speculation in the stock market and in bonds. So they didn't understand then that the disaster is when the financial asset inflation blows out and rolls over. And here we know that for most of the last decade, the Fed has been worried that inflation wasn't high enough. We've got to ease money supply. And then all of a sudden you come into the final stages of a great financial boom where you always end up with a business surge and a surge in commodity prices. So the Federal Reserve today is just as crazy as it was in the 1920s.
Back in the late 70s, when I worked in Winnipeg for Moffitt Communications, they had a cost-of-living bonus for employees. Randy Moffitt's shareholders said, we can't afford to do that. And he said, we can't afford not to do that. Our employees are important. Right after he died, they stopped that policy. Then I went to CKNW, owned by the Griffiths family at the time, and they also had a cost of living bonus every 3 months on your paycheck. So there were employers back then that realized their employees were struggling.
Those were solid people. That's the right kind of thing to do, because any of these bursts in inflation don't last forever, and you've got to help out your employees as best you can.
Headline, Russia's default problem with bondholders is only just starting.
Yep.
If you hold rubles, are they rubble?
Could be. No, the Russians played it right, and with getting oil settlements in rubles, they were able to get their currency back to even with the dollar before the disaster came. I got to go along with that. It was the right thing to do. Because if you go all the way back to the 1500s, when Holland was the premier commercial and financial center, particularly Antwerp, the financial center of the world, and the great trader Gresham there was acting on behalf of the British crown in the money market in Antwerp, and his many letters to the crown, well, actually, you would call him Minister of Finance these days, explained that you don't want to owe money from a weak currency into the hard currency. And, of course, the hard currency then was the Dutch currency, the guilder. and he was able to manipulate up the sterling relative to the guilder, and then made debt obligations all the easier. So there's nothing new in the financial markets, and what we are facing here now is a huge bubble in debt, and with a slowing economy, there are going to be many corporations, provinces, states, municipalities that will not be able to service their debt. And thus you get the contraction whereby investors get the hell out of these things that are risky. And you've had already, year over year here, the junk bonds sold off from 110 down to 95, I think it was. You know, major hit. Little rally recently, but hey, these junk bonds, they eventually go no bid because the entity is unable to service debt, and that's what's ahead of us. So, not a pretty picture, Jim. I'm going to look out the window again.
Yeah, beautiful day unveiling here in Vancouver. Yeah, when you say look out the window, it's sunny after... We had a little bit of the atmospheric river coming up from the tropical Pacific yesterday, and yeah, it really poured. Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and look forward to next week.
If you're a listener like Clara, who had a question or a number of questions today for Bob, we love to hear from you. So you can send your questions for Bob to info@howstreet.com. In fact, you can ask questions of any one of our guests, and we'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.